Hello, and welcome to the live webinar, The Future of Retailers and Media, Why Media is Important to Retailers and How It Can Drive Success, sponsored by Bazaar Voice and powered by Retail Online Integration. I'm Stephanie Nuzzo, e-learning event coordinator, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's event. Here today to discuss how retailers can take advantage of the $118 billion estimated global spend on digital advertising this year are Ari Paparos, Senior Vice President of Media Products, and Josh Wetzel, Vice President of Media Network and Business Development, both from our sponsoring company, Bazaar Voice. They are both extremely accomplished in their respective areas of expertise and are going to share their insights on where the market is going and how retailers and advertisers can gain competitive advantages through media. Our speakers will be telling you all about themselves in just a moment, so I'm going to go ahead and give you some technology pointers so you can enjoy the webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console, marked with the question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists anytime during the webinar, and they'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all of the widgets on the console. And one important note, you can download slides directly from the console by clicking on the widget with the folder on it. They will open up in another window so you can print from there. You can also tweet directly from the console. Hashtag today is ROI webinar. And then if you would, you can click on the Tips for Attendees widget to learn how to customize your experience further today. So without further delay, I'm going to hand it over to Ari and Josh to get us started.
Thanks, Stephanie. This is Josh Wetzel. I'm here today. I've spent the last 14 years of my career in commerce and ad technology, and most notably building out the eBay Commerce Network. So excited to be here to talk to you. Ari?
This is Ari Paparo. I have spent also about 10 years in ad technology, especially at Google and DoubleClick, where I worked with video as well as all types of rich media. So I'm also similarly very excited to talk to you today.
Great. So just wanted to sort of cut back and talk about online retail and how it's fundamentally different than offline. And that's the sort of the core of the message of where media comes into play. Online is where consumers start their shopping journey, where they turn to research and discover what they want to purchase. And we're here to talk about how online retail presents those unique opportunities, but it also requires looking at the channel differently in a quest to give and take value from every visitor. And this is what Ari and I are excited to talk to you about today. There's some key trends, as you can see on this slide, they're driving the evolution of online retail. A couple points. So one is it's extremely fast growing. I think we all know this, both in terms of visitors, consumers continue to flock to e-commerce sites, and obviously in gross sales. One of the challenges, though, is the much lower conversion to sale, particularly when in relative to offline. So typically overall it's about less than 7%, and that obviously varies greatly by category. So it's a high research mode. Consumers are seeking information online to decide what to purchase. Again, that they're starting their journey here. They're looking to discover and learn more about the products before they go make a purchase. And then in particular, mobile's creating some major shifts. It's where research happens and oftentimes in store. So as we talked about, e-commerce continues to grow. Year-over-year growth exceeds more than 10%, which is significantly outpacing overall retail sales. And then specifically, 11% of all discretionary dollars in Q1 were spent online. So the channel is massive. I think we all know that. And as I mentioned, consumers are expecting more online. They're coming to get reviews, content, interact with other consumers and learn about products. And that's also driving advertisers. They're starting to take notice and realizing that they can leverage paid media to drive in-store purchases as well. So here's some examples of sites, one oriented in the retail space, Pinterest, and the other one actual retailer, where they're driving leveraging significant rich informational experiences and branded promotional content to drive experiences. The irony is there's been this notion over the years that in the physical stores were effectively showrooming for online stores. And the irony is that the data is starting to indicate that there's a reverse trend, and we're calling it online showrooming, which is that consumers are starting their process online. They're discovering, learning about, and making decisions of what to buy, online, and then a majority of the time they're still purchasing in a local store. And this research shows this across many key verticals. Obviously, autos is an obvious one, but it's also true in clothing, even many categories of electronics and whatnot. And so that's driving the trend that we're trying to talk about today. In addition, recent studies showed that consumers, when asked where they wanted to see ads when on the internet, the majority of them, in the highest category, they said 57% said they wanted to see them in shopping. And that's another 2.5 times more than they wanted to see it when they're on their local news site. Again, the idea is that shoppers want to be advertised to when they're in the search of information when they're shopping. And another key kind of push here is mobile. So not only is mobile becoming a major driver of e-commerce sales, projected to grow to more than $27 billion in 2016, but it's also a channel that's going to have tremendous and amazing impacts on driving in-store purchase as well, and we're already seeing that in many ways. We'll talk about that. So what does media mean for you, and how does it look like today? The opportunity for online retailers is to incorporate strategy to add shopper media with the goal to monetize every visitor, not just the 7% who purchase. When you think about advertising is about context of the user and the data, so understanding where that user is coming from, what they've been doing, how they're interacting with the experience. Shopper media offers both in a highly contextual, think about in-purchase cycle researching products and great data of what product they've been looking for. It understands both where the user's been, what they're doing, and what they're looking for, and those combinations are critical to driving strong advertising and, quite frankly, making advertising content and making it complementary to the shopping experience. And I think that's the critical point to advertising in general and also retail, is that they're very much complementary to each other. So what does the market look like? What is advertising today? So today, brands spend approximately $118 billion globally on online advertising. That's across the world, brands spending to drive awareness of their products, to drive and influence purchasing. And the concept of advertising in retail in particular is not a new one. There's several people who have been doing this, but Amazon alone is reportedly going to do $1 billion in advertising sales this year alone. And what that's doing for them is it's giving them a hefty profit or revenue stream to funnel back into new product development, into customer acquisition, product pricing subsidies, and obviously the bottom line. And if you look at the last few years of the financial results, you'll notice that they've been growing significantly from bottom line perspective, partly because they've been able to drive so much profit and synergy from the advertising efforts in retail. Which gets us back to the media opportunity. Online retailers fundamentally are publishers, and by adding shopper media to the user experience, they can improve the experience, the shopping journey, so to speak, that every visitor comes to and seeks out, but it also will help monetize every visitor. So instead of today, when you're thinking about you're monetizing and focusing on that 7% and trying to get it to 7.5%, the idea is monetize every single visitor and look at changing the focus from conversion to sale to revenue per visit. And that's a critical change in mindset, but it's one that both will improve the user experience and likely improve not just the conversion to sale, but the overall site experience for every visitor, but also, again, it generates revenue on every single visit. So let me introduce you to Bizarre Voice Media. So today, Bizarre Voice works with over 1,500 retailers globally. We have a product database of 100 million plus products. And we work with 50,000 plus brands globally, and our reach globally is well north of 400 million users. What that means is that we understand, have relationships with the entire online retail ecosystem, and we understand kind of what the ecosystem in terms of both the users, the brands, and the retailers need, want, and how they're interacting with each other. And that's critical in terms of understanding and driving value within the ecosystem. So Bazaar Voice Media itself is a full-service media platform that brings together an enterprise approach to the media opportunity, providing ad sales, operations, brand, and yield management. Think of it as it's a technology and services solution to help retailers drive maximum yield on every single site visitor. And some of the things you can see we do here is examples with Office Max and Radio Shack, where you've got custom sponsorships integrated into the content, integrated, again, it's synergistic content because it's in this particular case, it's a printer within the printing experience of an office supply site, or a Visa, so transaction financial services within an electronic site. And the key here is ultimately it's about marrying brands' desire to influence consumers in the shopping cycle. So the idea, again, I keep harping on this, but it's really about accentuating the shopping experience, creating synergistic experiences that are also branded content and ultimately advertising that generate revenue for you. And what's critical here is it's and why it's such a great opportunity is it's a win-win-win proposition, so to speak, for the ecosystem. So brand gets to influence consumer. Consumer gets a better experience, so they're getting more information that they want during that shopping process. And retailer generates incremental revenue and margin and monetizes, again, 100% of its visitors versus the 7% that they sell today. And then one example I'll show and briefly touch upon is mobile. So mobile is unique in many ways. As I mentioned before, it's really kind of an in-store experience, or it's on-the-go experience, and it's a great channel to drive people into that, into in-store purchasing. One example here we're using with one of our partners by the name of ShopSavvy, where we're taking the ability to drive scans, to drive action on an actual product or a search or a query, and drive them directly into the experience of a local retailer, a local brand, or a coupon or an offer. We're excited about this channel because it's extremely fast growing. Results are extremely high in terms of just the value that the user gets and the action they take from that experience. So now I'm going to turn it over to Ari to give an overview of our vision and product.
Great. Thanks, Josh. So I think Josh has motivated pretty well that that retailers are becoming publishers, that consumers are looking for information on retail sites, and that Bazaar Voice is investing in this area, and we're actively helping retailers. I want to take a few moments to talk through what I'm seeing in the marketplace strategically, which lends itself to the Bazaar Voice roadmap, but also hopefully some takeaways for everyone about the different leverage points that are available for retailers and brands in this emerging marketplace. So this is a typical e-commerce site, an omni-channel e-commerce vendor, and this is based on a real retailer. And it's in a category, it's looking at, a category of products. And what we've seen is it's not atypical to have a situation like this, where you have what I'd call a CPM-based ad. So CPM, the cost per thousand. Effectively, it's an advertisement that's there purely for profit to the retailer. And that is coexisting with different types of ads. You might have a co-op ad that the retailer themselves sell so for a partner that's sold on a cost per day basis, a flat rate, $1,000 a week, and you just get that ad. You might have a house ad for the retailer's add-on products, credit cards, special offers, email lists, etc. And then you might also have AdSense from Google, which is a kind of an easy way to make money on a retailer's site because Google is so good at using the retailer's data to serve ads. And the insight here is that this is a pretty unusual way to do business if you're a media company. If you're a publisher, magazine publisher, television publisher, you would very likely not have four different types of monetization on the page scattered in different areas being monetized in totally different ways. The state of the art is to have a concept of yield management across your entire user experience. And what I mean by that is that by having each of these different promotional techniques on a page, using their own technology, using their own metrics, it becomes incredibly difficult for a retailer to understand the impact of these activities. For example, you wouldn't be able to easily tell me whether you can make more money by not showing the co-op ad and instead showing two CPM ads. Or the inverse, could you make more money selling more co-op ads and not showing the CPM-based ad? Is the house ad effective? On a click basis, you might be able to tell because people, someone clicked and signed up for a credit card. But what about someone who saw that ad and then, you know, 2 days later decided to participate in your credit card program? All the sort of techniques that are kind of common in the offline advertising world are being underinvested in this emerging world where retailers are acting more and more like publishers. Another way to think about this is in terms of competition. So you have only a certain amount of real estate, product areas on your pages, and you have all types of opportunities for monetization that are competing like a traffic jam. And I won't read them all, but basically you have things that range from very high-end sponsorships through very performance-oriented, click-based ad programs. And once again, how do you make the choice? Do A/B test every single combination until you find the best? That's not very scalable. There's got to be sort of a more unified way to measure this stuff. So part of our product vision, I think whether you're our customer or not, this should be something you're thinking about, is about having a platform, a retail media platform, where you're making all of those different opportunities apples to apples comparable, both for measurement as well as from yield. By yield, what I mean is the amount of revenue per page or revenue per user visit. And in our vision, we want to work with retailers to enable them not to measure, to optimize, also to monetize through our sales force, because really to sell these types of sponsorships or high-end brand executions, retailers very often won't have scale to talk to every single buyer. It requires someone to go across sellers to reach the buyer with scale, and also deployment. It shouldn't require a internal ad ops team or internal operations team to be able to deploy any combination of opportunities on your site. So that's kind of the first insight we've had in talking to retailers, is that there's a traffic jam of people trying to get on the site, and the decisions being made about who gets there are somewhat ad hoc, and we think we could be helpful in that transition. I'm going to talk a little bit more about ad units and creative. So to start with, a very basic observation, which is that very often people are talking about how Amazon is making money on ads, but it's insightful to look at the actual placements that they're using to drive a lot of that revenue. And this is a screenshot from a real Amazon page. Amazon is putting ads inside the review content. And the review content is a great place for an ad, and I'm not just saying that because we're a Bizarre Voice and we control the review content. But really, it makes sense because consumers, when they go to that product detail page, will scroll down very quickly to the review section. There's quite a bit of research that says that product detail page is okay to be cluttered. That it's not a page that where people are looking for simplicity. Consumers are generally looking for a lot of information and a lot of different ways to interact. And so the risk of consumer behavior changing because of an ad is really minimized. So we think this is kind of a no-brainer for most retailers. But moving forward, we think that that real estate is particularly suited to what we're calling native ads for e-commerce. So sponsored reviews is one concept where, although you as a retailer have a real commitment to authenticity of having the real reviews, and we do as well, and that's part of our value proposition at Bizarre Voice, there is an opportunity to take the reviews that put the product in the best light and bring them to the forefront and make them more obvious to the consumer, as well as to target ads based on a predictive model to say this review or this content is more likely to influence this particular type of consumer than some other kind. And it may be that in some cases it might be a matter of turning someone off from the product and driving them to a different product from the same manufacturer. And we're really kind of between an ad and content here, where the ad itself is useful. You can imagine an ad that also prompted a user to learn more about the product details, to watch a video, or to otherwise become more engaged with the brand. And then finally, I'd just like to point out a couple of trends that we're seeing. So advertising on a retail site is a little bit different from advertising on a typical publisher. And one of the typical ways it's different is that most retailers do not want the consumer to click away, because obviously the shopping experience, even if it's only 7% of the users who convert, is the primary impetus for the retailer to host the consumer. So two different products I've seen out in the marketplace from other vendors, not Bazaar Voice, but companies out there that I just like to highlight. On the right side is a ad that is from a startup called Triple Lift that is a social commerce ad. Effectively, they take the products on your site, put them into a grid that looks really Pinterest-like and allows the consumer to post those to social media, like them, or otherwise click through and actually purchase them on your site. I think that's a great example of how you can make the medium and the message work together. On the left, it's a bit hard to tell what's going on here, but basically it is a video experience that a consumer clicks to enable. Google in particular has been highlighting what they call their Lightbox format over the last 2 days here in New York. It's Internet Week, and they're going to all the shows talking about this. And it's a really great combination of good user experience and great brand coverage. And I think it's particularly valuable to the retail sector. So basically the idea is that the ad is a click-to-play ad that has an image or a call to action that says, you know, learn more about Rolex in this case. You click on it, and then the page produces a really high-involvement Lightbox-type ad format. In this case, we're looking at the Rolex one produced by a startup in England called Rockablox. It enables the consumer to learn more about Rolex. In this case, Rolex has featured the Formula One racing race car track, and this is promotional in that regard. But once again, it's an experience that's relevant to the products being looked at, and it does not take the consumer away from the shopping experience. And there's a lot more that's possible here, but I would encourage everyone to be thinking about what is an ad format that works on a retailer, not just an IB unit that clicks away necessarily. So we have a tool that we'd encourage everyone on the call to try out, bazaarvoice.com/media-revenue. And it's a neat little tool. What it does is it helps you estimate what sort of opportunity there might be for you in media on a retail site. So you enter, it's pretty obvious what you do here, but I'll walk through it anyway. You enter your monthly unique visits to your site from your Omniture or wherever you can get that data. You determine some of your ad policies as to where the ads would be, potentially, if you want to be conservative to start out just on the detail page or move up to the home page, and whether you would allow click-throughs or not, because that is a determinant of how much money you can make. And the tool will instantly pop out an estimate of how much your potential revenue you've got if you embrace this trend towards retailers becoming publishers. So once again, it's at bazaarvoice.com/media-revenue. In addition, you can email us if you can remember the email address but can't remember the URL, feel free. It's mediainfo@bazaarvoice.com, as well as for a demo of our advertising and media services, or for really anything from Bazaar Voice, we'll be happy to help you out. So once again, the URL is bazaarvoice.com/media-revenue, and the email address is mediainfo@bazaarvoice.com. So I hope you found that interesting and helpful. We're going to now transition to taking questions from the audience, and make sure to follow both Josh and I on Twitter. Josh is a very informative tweeter, and I'm very not informative but kind of funny. So you can follow who you feel like.
Thank you, Ari. Thank you, Josh. Very, very interesting comments and content. I think people who tell me that they're funny, that means I get to watch them, because normally that's not true. But we'll find out. So let's begin with some questions. So Ari, this question is probably best suited for you. So it's a couple of people have raised this. So can you talk about the relationship between Bazaar Voice and Bazaar Voice Media, you know, a reviews company and now a media company? Can you just chat about that for a bit?
Yeah, sure. So Bazaar Voice obviously is a company that many retailers rely on and has been a SaaS business for years. The Bazaar Voice Media is a new department. We acquired a small company called Longboard Media last fall that was an ad network specializing in retail sites. I came on board and Josh came on board and some other folks. And what we're looking to do is to enable retailers who use Bazaar Voice for ratings, reviews, and all the social tools to now also generate revenue from advertising. And we believe that the two things have a lot of great linkages because we can, for example, put reviews inside ads. We can use review data to better target ads. We can use the product taxonomies that we already have to enable targeting and results measurement, et cetera. So the two groups work very closely together but are still independent.
Thanks. Here's a question for you, Josh. So I know we've been talking a lot about retail, but how are brands optimizing content for this channel, which you guys are calling shopper media? So how are brands working in that field?
Yeah, it's a great question. It varies. I think at the end of the day, brands, again, they ultimately want to influence shoppers to purchase their products. And so they're working very much and interested in new ways of targeting consumers when they're in the purchase cycle, if you will, of that particular product category. So some of the things that Ari walked through briefly on those slides are great examples of that, where sponsor reviews, building to target users when they're in those particular categories with their message, that's been a big push for them. They obviously always love to do custom things where they're doing skins and having persistent presence within categories. And those are things that, you know, for those of us on the phone who have experienced or worked in kind of the co-op or manufacturer dollar kind of market, that they've been doing for years. And we're hoping to help drive and grow that pie, so to speak, but also drive unique ad formats to help grow and drive good results for them long term as well.
Thanks. Here's one for you, Ari. So we've heard a lot about data and advertising lately, not only in this webinar but lots of places. So what are some of the biggest trends you're seeing?
Well, so over the last several years, there's been a pretty strong trend towards retailer data being used for retargeting and otherwise used for different types of customer acquisition offsite. That is, when we speak to our customers, many of them, most of them probably already have a retargeting vendor and are using it for a pretty simplistic optimization of the bottom of the funnel activities. So that's one trend, but we think that trend hasn't really gone full circle yet. Most of that data is not being used on retailer sites in a uniform way. There are point solutions like recommendation engines, and there are point solutions like retargeting. But we think there's still a bigger trend that only the really big retailers, the top five, let's say, have the scale to execute, where they use their data on site, off site, all parts of the funnel, as well as revenue generating. And so those are some of the areas that we're investing in, where we think there's a big opportunity.
Interesting. Here's another question from Ben, and this is always a perennial question. I'm anxious for the answer. So I think I'll start with you, Josh, and then maybe, Ari, you might have some comments as well. So it's the basic. Have you done research on whether text or display ads work best for retailers?
So I'll start there. So I think the generally visual, so graphical, ads perform better, or actually, so retailers like them better. I believe, and some of the data supports this, that consumers like those ads as well because they see it as part of the visual experience of shopping. Now, that varies by category. On a pure performance basis, text tends to work well in general, simply because it's sort of stark and it stands out in many cases. But many retailers don't like that experience because it looks spammy.
Ari, any comments on that?
I think that my intuition says that the more the ad looks like a useful piece of content, the better it's going to do. And if you look at the Amazon product ads or a lot of the general design of retail sites, it's the combination of an image with some text and a link and a review that is the most iconic in the consumer's mind and the most likely to draw their attention and their click. So I think that the ideal ad format hasn't really been invented, but it's going to look a lot like a retail product.
Interesting. I think this is for you, Ari, because I believe you mentioned this in your part of the presentation. So a question from Rob. Why is Amazon doing click-out ads if you say most retailers wouldn't? Are they smarter than everybody
else? I think click-out ads will generate more revenue for the retailers. There's no doubt about that because the brands and the agencies that control the demand are going to want to measure things by clicks to their website. But we find that many retailers don't agree. So this is a choice on a retailer-by-retailer basis. Once again, I think the best practice is to have ads that produce the results that the agencies want without the click-through, the click-out. And then both sides are very pleased. That obviously requires additional work because most creatives are designed for a click. So that it's really a trade-off. To revenue maximize, you allow clicks. To protect your users to the greatest extent, you don't.
Fair enough. How about, I think this is probably again for you, Ari, an Amazon question. You mentioned Amazon puts ads in the review content. What other areas would you recommend putting ads in other than review content areas? Are there other particular spots you think would work very well?
Well, I think that slide that Josh showed really spoke to this. You divide up a retail site just to be simple as homepage, category page, products page. And each of those has a different consumer experience and a different value to the advertiser. And your ad units should also, look right in each of those contexts, which might be different. So for a category page, for example, you can really have some pretty big ad units on that slot, real hero implementations, as it's sometimes called, where you're helping the consumer to choose a brand while their expressed intent along a category. And that's probably the biggest opportunity for having rich media, for having calls to action about video or about product selectors or ratings and review selectors. And that's probably your sweet spot of where you can go big and bold. Homepage ad is you're much less likely to want to go big and bold, but you have the most traffic, the most reach, and so that's probably the most likely to have an above the fold brand IAB standard size brand type ad. Let me head over to Josh. He might have some insight on that as well.
No, I think that's Ari. You hit it on the head. I mean, at the end of the day, the experience needs to be synergistic with the three constituents, right? With the retailer, with the brand, and with the consumer. And the other challenge too, by the way, just when you look at different categories or areas of sites, there's typically a lot less traffic on the homepage than there are in like category pages or very popular product pages. And so from an advertising perspective, when you're looking for influence, they're going to want to do more of the hero, kind of the large kind of integrated stuff in those channels versus the homepage.
Good. Thanks, guys. Here's one for you, Josh. How can brands create an integrated campaign around this when it seems like just another outlet to pursue?
At its core, at the end of the day, I keep coming back to this, and I hate to be a broken record, but it's true. Brands want to influence consumers to buy their products, and the best channel for them to do that is through shopper media. If you look at the advertising dollars as a whole that are spent, just look at the online ecosystem today, majority of them are spent through search. And they're spent through search because people are declaring an intent. They're searching, I search for a smartphone. I'm declaring I'm looking to research and find a smartphone. Shopper media effectively is at the same intent or even further down the funnel because people have already declared I'm actually now on a retail site and I'm actually looking at smartphones or I'm actually now on a product page for a smartphone. And so therefore, the value of that channel and the value value of the performance from a brand standpoint is going to outweigh just about any other channel they've got out there, both from an awareness standpoint as well as driving sales. And so the channel, it will be a significant one for brands in the future as it grows and opens up. And this becomes more commonplace across all retailers.
Thanks. Thanks. Interesting data. Here's one for both of you guys about one of my favorite topics, mobile. So can we talk, can you elaborate on mobile? How is this affecting display media today? Josh, why don't you start?
Yeah, I can start. So mobile is affecting display. I don't know if it's affecting display as much as it's in the shopping experience. It's affecting in that it, now people have a computer in their hands when they're in store, or when they're walking down the street, or they're on their lunch break, or whatever it is, and they can quickly get information, make decisions. And we're seeing that ultimately people are doing that, and it's driving people in the store. They're starting to redeem coupons and deals via their phone. You know, stores are dealing with this all the time where people are coming in with a snapshot of a coupon they took at home, and that's become an interesting challenge, but also a great opportunity for retailers. So we believe strongly that combining the digital kind of approach to driving promotion and influence in the shopping kind of research behavior will help drive a more synergistic channel management strategy for retailers, meaning that they can now drive promotions through physical, kind of the traditional, think of it Sunday circular type of approach, as well as the digital and leveraging mobile in particular, and they'll be able to drive incremental sales both online as well as in store, leveraging that medium.
Are you coming from the mobile world?
No, I think Josh handled it pretty well.
Okay. This is I'll start with you, Josh. This is more of a specific question about the Bazaar Voice Media. Is this a self-service platform for brands, or is it a managed service?
It's a managed service, and it's managed because retailers today, they need a lot of support. There's ad quality concerns. There's a highly curated kind of approach to who the advertisers are, the creative types, what placements, and then testing your way into it. Every retailer has a little bit different experience, sometimes very drastically different, we need to work together to make sure that the where the promotions are set up and how they're integrated work long term, and then essentially test your way into it. So today it's a full service one-on-one kind of highly hand curated, what I like to call white glove approach. In the long run, you know, we're going to build systems and tools that help automate some of that stuff, but it's definitely full service.
Thank you. Here's one of my favorite questions. This is from Dorothy. This is a central question about life, I think. So do consumers want advertising, or do they want great deals targeted to them? In other words, a personalized ad. So.
Well, I'll try this one. There's academic research on the subject for the last, 50 years about consumers. And consumers generally say they don't like advertising and that advertising has no effect on them. And then consistently the research shows that they do like advertising and it does have a good effect on them. They don't like all advertising and they don't like annoying advertising, but they'll remember the advertisements they like. And I think it just goes towards the philosophy that you need to make the advertising non-interruptive and as useful as possible. In terms of whether they want advertising or a deal, well, it's not really a binary choice. You can have all different types of customer relationship techniques like deals, coupons, sign-ups, special offers, credit cards, whatever. But at some point, you actually have to drive the consumer's interest and awareness of those offers, and advertising, for lack of a better term, is the way to do that. I think ultimately you have to balance the overall consumer experience against your business needs and come up with a formula that's right for your site, not one formula for everybody.
Fair enough. I think we've got time for one more question, so I think this will be the last one. And Ari, I'm going to start with you, and Josh, feel free to chip in. Ari, what share of advertising do you think will be native advertising over the next 5 years?
That's the $10 million question. So in native advertising, for those of you who may not be familiar with the buzzword in the industry, is the idea that the ads are really customized to the environment in which they're shown. For example, Twitter ads are tweets, right? They're promoted tweets that they try to get you interested in. This is a pretty big trend because native ads tend to work a little bit better, and they also work better across social and mobile channels. You know, that same tweet ad works on any device and is inherently social. So if you were to just add up Facebook and Twitter and a couple of other major sources of social, of native ads, you probably already get to half of all display advertising right now, or coming up on that. So I'm pretty bullish on it. I think a pretty large portion of what we currently call display advertising will be more native in the coming years. I'm not going to specifically put out a number, but I think the trend is clearly in that direction, where you're using IAB units, big graphical units, for high-end upper funnel activities, and then you're going to see more and more native as you go towards lower in the funnel.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And I think with that, we will wrap it up. I'm going to turn it back over to Stephanie to finish everything up.
Great, thank you. And I want to thank Ari and Josh for their time and such an informative presentation. And on behalf of Bazaar Voice and Retail Online Integration, I want to thank you all for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archives and upcoming webinars. So I hope to see you all at the next ROI webinar. Bye for now.